Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States.
We need to talk.
It's showtime.
Yeah, showtime.
Maybe you'll laugh.
Ha ha ha, hearty, ha ha.
Maybe you'll cry. You definitely will be entertained.
It's that simple. Are we clear? Are we clear?
On with the show, this is it.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, coming to you from the Smart Start MN and the Bradshaw and Bryan Studios. I am joined by Minnesota Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bernie Bomberg, also occasional dentist at Snelling Avenue Dental, attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. They don't give you those that kind of build up on AM 1130.
No.
Also, Boz Bostrom, the author with John Gilardi of A Legacy Unrivaled and a very close friend. It's a very nice tribute, actually, that John's daughter gave to you, because you were as close a friend that John has had over the certainly the last several years.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
And John Gilardi passing away the other day. And our other guest actually has a connection to John Gilardi as well, our very, very special guest, Senator Dave Durenberger, who was on the campus at St. John's, and his father hired John Gilardi at St. John's. He was the athletic director at St. John's, and I was asking him off the air, how do you wind up with a guy from Montana, you know, to come into Minnesota to be a coach? How do they hear about it? I mean, there was no Twitter, there was no social media, there were newspapers and teletypes. John must have had a decent reputation, Senator.
Well, the answer I gave you, I'll give you again, which is because he was Catholic, you know, and he was 27, and you weren't taking a big risk, you know. If you hire somebody at 27, you can always replace him. You know, John McNally was another story whom he succeeded. But I think I have no doubt in my mind that my dad saw potential in the guy. In part, it was his attitude, you know, and part it was his background and his history of stepping in high school
and he told him he could beat St. Thomas and Gustavus without needing athletic scholarships, even though he'd never heard of the two schools.
That appealed to the university more than it might have.
Exactly.
Exactly. You're right.
Well, so did you like John lived on campus as your dad is athletic director? You said you'd mentioned off the air as well that you grew up at St. John's. Did you live on campus as well or right?
Yeah, we lived in Flintown.
Oh, that must have been
after
terrific.
An old coach and from the 20s, you know, Flynn. And my dad was went to college up there, graduated 28, was an all something or other, you know, in football and basketball because he was big and tall and a good drop kicker and stuff like that. So, but right in the house right behind us, which was also one of the two more modern houses, was Joe Benda, who'd been the first John Gilardi. I mean, Joe was a heck of a good football coach. Left Moose Krause recruited him to Notre Dame to coach Notre Dame from 37 to 41, and my dad stepped in and coached in that period of time. And then Joe came back right after the war. Joe had a fatal illness that eventually ended his life, but not until he came within 1 point, 28-27, of beating St. Thomas.
Nice.
Which was the Cigar Bowl Thomas. You know, all the vets came out of the war and you know, mm-hmm. big, burly, cocky guys at St. Thomas within 1 point. Greatest game I ever saw.
Nice. So this was unheard of back then for St. Thomas to lose to St. John's? They were perennial winners over them?
I should know that. I mean, they certainly had a winning record. I don't know that one off the top of my head. The only one I remember is that John, when he took over, he convinced him he could beat St. Thomas, and then he did have a record of 43-17 against the Tommies. So, sorry, Jeff.
I was there when he was perfecting that 43-17 record. I don't think in my 4 years, I don't think we beat him once.
What years were you there?
So it had been 93. Fall 93 came in, left spring of 97.
Yeah, from 91 to 2009. That's when he was at his pinnacle. He won 85% of his games, and he beat the Tommies 17 and 19 times during that. Incredible run.
Well, I came across something because I wrote in the column after I heard that John had passed away, that from, was it 1995 to 2015, Mount Union it was like a 20-year where they won like more than a dozen or a dozen national titles.
Yep.
Only three times had they been held to 10 points or less. Twice was against St. John's.
Exactly.
Which is incredible. I mean, that that he his player had, what, 90 minutes of practice, no tackling, yet his defenses were always superior.
We were always fresh when we got to the games, and we knew what to do. That was a big thing. We were never out of position.
Now, when did you play for John?
I was the early 90s, so fall of 91 through fall of 94 is when I was there. Graduated in 95.
And how were you MIAC champions just about every year?
Yeah, we lost in the national semifinals three of my 4 years. So we actually, the only year we didn't make it there, that was the 1 year Carleton won it. Shocker. We met them in the Metrodome. They were undefeated. We'd lost one game to St. Thomas. Met them for the big showdown at the end of the year in the Metrodome. We beat them 70-7, and then the next week we go off and tie Concordia. We finish 8-1-1. They finish 9-1. They go to the national playoffs, and we sit home and watch it. That was the only year we didn't make
Carleton.
Yes, you didn't mishear me there. That was the only year they've won it, and that was the only year we didn't go to the national
semis. Was Bob Sullivan coaching then?
Yeah, it was Bob Sullivan. Yeah. John loved Bob Sullivan, so
yeah,
he was a nice job.
That's exactly right.
Well, Senator, you certainly know the MIAC.
Yeah.
You know, so give me, because we're going to talk more about it, but I don't know your history as well as Jeff does, because Jeff, you did work for the senator at one point, right?
Yeah, and you know, and when the senator, after he retired from the Senate and became a faculty at St. Thomas, we sweet talked the administration into letting Senator Durenberger getting him to be our faculty advisor to the College Republicans 23, 24 years. It was a while ago, nice. But that's how we met was when he was a professor at St. Thomas.
So how tough was it for a Johnny to take a job at St. Thomas?
I had a deal with the president that I'd always wear red.
Whenever they played.
Never purple.
That's nice.
That's funny.
That's nice. One of my profs in my accounting department at St. Ben St. John, she's a Tommy. So, but she wears red. She'll wear red this Saturday when the Tommies come to town, at least.
Oh, that's funny. So, Senator, when you got out of college, how long from getting out of college at St. John's, and then you also, you went beyond St. John's as well for in college?
I went to I went on active duty because I was in the first ROTC class, the one that graduated in 3 years. So I went on active duty for training right after the Korean War, then went to law school at the University of Minnesota, and then went to work in Harold Evander's law firm. And
but when,
I made history after that.
When did you decide you were going to go into politics? How old were you?
It was sometime, I was probably in my 30s. It was sometime after Harold Evander got elected governor of Minnesota and asked me to be his chief of staff. And I happened to land in what we called a heyday of progressive Republicans in Minnesota at the time. And I learned so much in a short period of time about how Minnesota grew its own politicians and its own politics, you know, and its own public policy, that I came to love it, went to work for Elmer Anderson after I had a sort of a sad ending to that with my wife died the four of us, five of us, four boys and me, you know, had to deal with that one. But then I went to work for Elmer. And the nice part about going to work for Elmer was he said, Dave, you don't need a job. You need a purpose.
That's a great way to put something.
Yeah, isn't it?
It really is.
He was a great man, great leader. So that's why I went there.
Now, how in your book, and please tell us more and where people can get it, do you spend a lot of time on your early years, or is it a lot of it when you were actually a senator? I mean, is it getting the full breadth of your career and your life?
Thanks for asking about it, but it's really not a book about me. It's a book about when Republicans were progressive, which today is a puzzling title, you can imagine.
But
that's the title. And it's a period of 60 years from the election of a 31-year-old lawyer named Harold Sasson in 1938, the depths of the Depression, to the decision people made in Minnesota 60 years later, 1998, to take a wrestler, you know, professional wrestler, over Norm Coleman, the Republican and, you know, famous mayor of St. Paul, and Skip Humphrey, the son of the great Hubert Humphrey. And Minnesota was telling the Republican Party, and in essence, you're starting to move in the wrong direction, and they have proved it ever since then for 20 years. It is the wrong direction.
Now, where can people find the book?
Well, the book,
Amazon, and
yeah, you can do Amazon. You can do most bookstores, as far as I can tell. The publisher is the Minnesota Historical Society, and we have a grand launch at the Historical Society in St. Paul at 7 p.m. on October the 16th, a Tuesday evening.
So, how your first book, or have you done others?
I did a book as I was preparing. I was on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence for 8 years. And I knew that in the last 2 years, I was going to be the chairman. So starting in about the third or fourth year, I started putting down my thoughts about national, both about foreign policy and about the role that national security policy would have to play in foreign policy. And I published it as Neither Mad Men Nor Messiahs. And it was published by Gary Diamond, who is a famous St. Louis Park boy, you know. Unfortunately, the publisher used a publishing name that was Piranha Press, mm-hmm. or something like, you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Which got to be a little famous earlier on, later on in my life. But the forewords were by Gene Kirkpatrick, you know, very well-known conservative Republican expert, and by the then Secretary of Defense, Schlesinger. And so it had legitimacy.
Yep.
Even though it later on got, pooped on or something like that.
Was that your first? You had Prescription for Change too. Your healthcare book, was that before?
Yeah, that's right. Prescription for Change came afterwards, but Prescription for Change was sort of like a collection of 6 years of my speeches that
that's
I made.
Right.
Largely on healthcare, on the evolution of healthcare. So this would be the third one, but the importance of this one is it's about everybody from the Stassen period through about Arne Carlson, and then simply a reference to the fact that everything changed after that, and instead of being the independent Republican Party of Minnesota, we basically became an auxiliary of the Confederacy.
Well, you know, I want to take a quick break, so I want to talk to you more about the book and find out, as an author, how tough is it then to work yourself in? Because you were a big part of that 60 years. You know, were you have to forcing yourself? Were people saying, you need more about yourself in there?
No, the reason, I mean, I did it because Russ Fridley, who headed up the Historical Society, told me to do it because he said, Minnesota's been a Republican state, not a Democratic state. It's a Republican state in history. And that seems hard to believe today, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really got me, and I said no to Russ, he died, and so he wasn't around to persuade me, but what got me was that Lori Sturdivant from the Minneapolis Tribune said she wanted to write about both a combination of my life, but she wanted to write with me about...
Oh, you did it with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Dave Dernberger with Lori Sturdivant, and thank God I got her to do it because she knows how to write. I may know how to talk sometimes, I think, but she knows how to write, and they keep it succinct and very readable.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to ask you, because I have a feeling, and you would know better than me, that Minnesota may actually start heading back the other way again and become more Republican after what happened over the last week or so with Judge Kavanaugh. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Boz Bostrom, the author of Our Legacy Unrivaled, the story about John Gilardi, Bernie Bomberg, Jeff O'Brien, and Senator Dave Durenberger. We'll be right back.
I've gotten to know Michael Bryant from the law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant. He's a good guy and a great attorney. And now here's what you should know. Michael and the other attorneys at Bradshaw & Bryant will help you if you've been involved in an accident. Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney. And that's the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN ignition interlock system knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start ignition interlock system installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start ignition interlock system prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
We are back. Boz Bostrom, author of A Legacy Unrivaled, the story of John Gilardi, who sadly passed away on Sunday, less than a month before his 92nd birthday. And I usually called him, I'd mentioned this, Boz, before the season when he was coaching for 15 years. This is your last year. And then I would call him around his birthday to see how he was doing. I really liked him. He was my two favorite coaches, Jerry Burns and John Gilardi. Bernie Bomberg, Minnesota Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. He told us last week. He's been on the show how many months?
He held that
back from us.
Yeah.
It never came up.
Too modest. Lawyer, attorney, barrister extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, and our very, very special guest, Senator Dave Durenberger. And Senator, before the last segment, I mentioned I think things could swing back. I looked at one of the polls that came out last week, and Doug Wardlow was a guest of ours, and Jeff corrected me. I was calling him Wardlaw, and then I hustled and said, you should go by Wardlaw because you want to be the top lawman in the state. I was trying to save my mistake because I told him Joe Theismann was Joe Theismann throughout his life till he got to Notre Dame, and they made Theismann for Heisman. So he should go Wardlaw for the law. So anyway, he's leading by almost 20 points in the poll I saw.
Well, in outstate Minnesota, I think it's still pretty. I think it's still tight. I've heard the latest. I heard I had some chatter that this apparently the internal polling has dug about 4 points up right now statewide. So it's still a close race because obviously
I can't believe that it is.
Well, Keith Ellison has the 5th district is his base, and you know they have a lot of population there. They're going to come out and vote for him. So well,
and the other thing, I mean, I do think that I don't think Tina Smith is going to win. Karen Housley, I think, is doing a great job, and she's doing well outstate, and I think that she could do good more or locally. And I've said, Senator, and I just want to get your overview on it. I have said that I will vote for Karen Housley and Amy Klobuchar, and I have to be honest, after the last few weeks, I've had reservations and second thoughts about Amy Klobuchar, because I want to be represented. I'll give a quick aside. I voted twice for Paul Wellstone and would have voted a third time. I did not agree with a lot of the things he believed in, but I believed he believed in those things. I don't believe Amy Klobuchar. I hope she doesn't believe in the things she's talking about, particularly how does she not condemn Keith Ellison, if you're going to condemn Kavanaugh. You have to have consistency. And it's just a big disappointment on her part and many of the Democrats that they absolutely condemn Kavanaugh, will not condemn Ellison. And now I hear there's going to be the Clintons are going on tour. Mm-hmm. There's no condemnation of him by any of these Democrats. Because if there's a Me Too movement and every woman should be believed, well, there's at least one of them who said it was outright rape. And the others, one said that he exposed himself, and the other said he had unwanted advances. So I just don't. I'm curious for you. I mean, you were in the Senate at a time where it was much more civil. And I mean, am I wrong or
no? It was when you read the book, I think you'll find it interesting because it's not my history. There's three chapters in which I talk about out of 11 chapters that I talk about the experience I had in three terms and what. What I found compelling about that period of time was the issue of leadership. how Howard Baker and a slim majority in the Senate of Republicans, 17 of whom, like me, were called moderates or progressives or whatever, and how our ability to reach across the aisle made Ronald Reagan's reputation what it was. I mean, how we were able to stop him or slow him down on certain things and speed him up and surprise him on a lot of other things. And he told Bob Dole this frequently, and I think he told Howard Baker the same thing. Bob Dole succeeded him and also did a foreword for my book. But he said the president would say, when Dole or Baker would call him up and say, "We can't get this bill passed. You know, we just can't get it off the floor." He would say, "Hey, Bob, don't worry." He said, "We're batting 70%. That's not half bad." you have a genius like that, you know, who's always thinking positively about things, combined with the talent that we had that could work across the aisle. And we accomplished great things in that period of time. And even when George Mitchell became the Democratic leader and he had a Democratic Senate to work with and a Democratic House, he wanted George H.W. Bush on the kind of legislation that we passed. And he worked it so he could get it, a Republican president's signature on the bill. That's the way the Senate used to work.
Well, those days. Can this fissure that is now in politics, and in particularly in the Senate, do you see it being repaired, or is it just going to get uglier?
I suppose it's getting uglier for a period of time, depending on circumstances, things like that. Nobody expected this Kavanaugh thing to become what it did, and it didn't become that simply because of the charges, those late charges against him. It is what it was. It was a political thing. The minute back in 20, whatever, the last term when Scalia died, the minute the Republicans decided we are not going to give a hearing, it became political. So, okay, and so that's just the circumstances that led up to it. Now, what is the unknown now is Donald Trump. You know, he's a surprise every day. So he may surprise one of these days. He's going to start surprising Republicans as well. And the challenge that we in the Republican Party have is getting our successful act back again, the one that worked for all of us, including a lot of middle of the road, you know, just left of center Democrats as well.
Senator, could I ask you kind of an esoteric question along those lines? What would be your vision of progressivism in the Republican Party, especially of Minnesota? I mean, progressivism goes back 115 years to Teddy Roosevelt and to a lesser degree William Howard Taft. But what do you see would be your ideal vision for that in the state of Minnesota going forwards?
You know how I answer that one right now? By calling up a mayor. And I started that, you know? Mm-hmm. I picked that Edina mayor because he was in the news. He was being attacked by the Center for the American Experiment or something like that. And I thought, well, he can't be half bad. So I called him up, and he refers me to a mayor up in Fergus Falls. And I was up there with my wife, and she's selling her book called, you know, The Forgotten Souls, The Crusade for Forgotten Souls. And so I call up the mayor, and he runs a brewery on Main Drag, has about five kids, and he's just a regular guy. But, man, does he feel strongly about the answer to your question, about getting it together. And when you get to the substance of how you do these sort of things, in part it's looking at the way we finance elementary education, looking at the kinds of kids that we are teaching, and the kind of conditions, the health conditions people have, which gets you to the second issue, which is I have known for a long period of time that an insurance system is not the way to run a national health system unless you want the government to run it. But if you don't want the government to run it, then we ought to be able to buy into a health company. And whether it's Health Partners or it's Allina Health or Fairview Health or, you know, HCMC Health or Essentia Health or, you know, Centricare Health, whatever it is, you ought to be able to buy a membership in a healthcare company. And maybe if you bought a 5-year membership, you'd get a cheaper rate than if you bought a 1-year membership like you do with insurance today. So, you know, that kind of thinking, you know, comes out of Minnesota. It doesn't just come out of me. It comes out of Minnesota.
It's ingenious in its simplicity.
Yeah, and it's hard to make it as to clear to a lot of people because there's now too many people invested on one side or the other,
exactly,
making money off of it. But you're absolutely right. That's a really a good question.
Let me ask you this. Bud Grant, who everyone knows, a great Vikings coach, lifetime contract, has an office in the Vikings when it was Winter Park, and he still has one at the new one, a facility, an office. He'd be there just about every day. Denny Green never walked down the hall to ask him a single question. In those years, Denny was the coach. Never asked him for any advice or talked to him. You have a lot of knowledge and background and advice. Are you hearing from politicians today in Minnesota or even elsewhere and saying, Senator, what do you think? Because you still have great ideas. That didn't stop when you left the Senate.
Yeah, but they stopped using it. They stopped being that curious. The question I just answered, I haven't been asked, you know, except by some candidates, and unfortunately they're on the left DFL. I don't know how far left some of those people are, but if they're Minnesotans, with the exception of, you already mentioned the attorney general candidate, you know, they're Dean Phillips, you know, Dean Phillips. Now that's a Minnesotan. Mm-hmm. I mean, born and raised, the family's here, they've done all kinds of stuff like that. And, I went to a town hall meeting for him with three other people that know something about healthcare, and it was like the old days of town hall. It was 200 people sitting in the audience, and we sat there for 2 hours taking their questions and answering their questions, and Dean Phillips never said, this is what I believe, blah, blah, you know, all that sort of stuff. He's taking notes, you know, mental notes and actual notes. So, yeah,
that's,
you know,
what we need.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing that all the, even the incumbents ought to start practicing.
Well, but you're an incredible resource, and it like with Bud Grant, it makes no sense why more aren't coming to you and using you as a resource.
But I think that's part of the book. You know, I remember when, you know, it was 1995 where the Independent Republican Party of Minnesota changed their name. They wanted to be known, you know, they picked IR to distance themselves from the National Party during Watergate.
Right.
And I think that was you and Rudy that was part of the crew that right. came up with that idea. And then in 95, with, you know, when the Republicans took over the House, there was a decision or a desire to want to align themselves, not be independent anymore. And I think it was 2 years after that was summer I worked for you, and you even said that you called it back then. You said, I don't know why they did this. They were doing fine with IR. I don't know why they had to align, yeah. you know, go national with. Basically, I think you said, I don't know why they need to align themselves with the South.
Right.
And that was, and it's funny that your book stops with 98, because if you look at what, you know, I grew up in an era where it was you and Rudy Boschwitz as U.S. senators. For 12 years, we had two Republican U.S. mm-hmm. senators at a time. You got elected three times to the U.S. Senate as a Republican. And now we had, if you go back post 98, we had 2002, which was a reaction to the Wellstone Memorial. And now this year, the, you know, Republican candidates statewide are looking decent from what the polling is saying, but that's also in part because of this Keith Ellison thing. So there has to be some sort of special circumstance now for the Republicans in Minnesota to win statewide races. And there's zero attention ever paid to the history of the Minnesota Republicans. It's always the Lincoln Reagan dinner. The Democrats have a Humphrey Mondale dinner. You know, there's, I remember when I was in College Republicans, we did the dinner to celebrate the Minnesota Massacre when you and Rudy Boschwitz and Al Quie won and finally had Republicans elected statewide for the first time in a decade after Democrat control. There's no recognition, there's no appreciation at the state party level for what the Republicans have done historically here. And I think that's part of why it's sort of like, you know, a blind squirrel occasionally finding a nut when they win a statewide race.
I don't know how to follow that one, but just as an observation, there's one person on the ballot that could be a Republican. He happens to be a Democrat. That's Tim Walz. And you know what he's doing that's different? He's talking about one Minnesota. One Minnesota. That's what I did. That's what everybody has done up until recently. It's Republicans who have split us into Greater Minnesota, Metro Minnesota, and they're really aiming at the Twin Cities, at St. Paul and Minneapolis. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just all the Metro. But Tim has the instinctive good sense to say this should be one state, and it always has been one state.
You know what, though, Senator? He needs to denounce his comment that he wants to make this a sanctuary state. And I think he'd get a lot more Republicans voting for him. I'm not a big – I mean, I'd be forcing myself to vote for Jeff Johnson because I'm not overly impressed with him. But Walz needs to take back and say, I will not attempt to make this a sanctuary state because I think that's a mistake, and I don't think that'll play
listening.
Out state.
I hope he's listening. And
well, he'll hear from it from his friends in Duluth. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little sports, a little three and out. We'll be right back. This is Bob. And when my wife, Mary, had a significant workplace injury and her employer was giving her the runaround, she made one call. That's all that was needed after she contacted Dave Bialke from Bialke Law. Dave took care of everything, and Mary was very happy with the job Dave did. Dave is a down-to-earth guy. He grew up in northern Minnesota, rides a Harley, and worked several construction jobs before becoming an attorney specializing in work-related injuries and workman's comp issues. If you're hurt, or even just hurting, you should do what Mary did and talk to Dave. To set up a free consultation, call Dave at 763-571-2410. That's 763-571-2410. Or visit BialkeLaw.com. That's BialkeLaw.com. More than a dozen great movies, recliner seating, poker nights, all Vikings games on a big screen, a wonderful bar to meet with friends and socialize, free arcade games, low, low ticket prices, fantastic concession food and snacks, real butter on your popcorn. You can find all those things and more at the St. Michael Cinema in St. Michael, just off Interstate 94 in St. Michael. This is Bob Sansevier, and the St. Michael Cinema is my go-to place for movies and all those other things I mentioned. It should be your go-to place, too. The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a health-sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, call 844-313-4999. Again, 844-313-4999 or visit SolidarityHealthShare.org. That's SolidarityHealthShare.org. We are back. Minnesota Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bernie Bomberg, attorney, lawyer, barrister, extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Boss Bostrom, also a professor over at the St. John's. I keep leaving that part out.
You know, today I'm just John Gilardi's friend. That's all I care about.
And the author of his book, A Legacy Unrivaled, and our very special guest, you can pick that up, Senator Dave Durenberger. And, Senator, I know it sounds from, he listened to you talk, you know the MIAC and you're a sports fan. So Jeff has, he gets three and out, for us every week, three sports stories, and we all get to chime in. So Jeff, item one.
Item one, the bizarre story out of Mississippi. A high school, the visiting high band, it was the halftime show at a high school football game, and the marching band, did a skit basically with band members dressed as doctors and nurses and held guns on what appeared to be SWAT team members. And this, I mean, it, late September, this community had two police officers killed in the line of duty. So,
it was within a week, right?
Yeah. So it's legitimately everybody was outraged about this. The superintendent has apologized. I don't know what band director would, I mean, I can remember, we wouldn't, the wildest thing I did in marching band was they let us play Alice Cooper Schools Out at halftime. I don't recall, I would never imagine my band director ever allowing anything political to be done on a halftime show, so.
You can't make that stuff up.
No.
No, and you hear, you know, you, about people's jaws falling to the floor. This would be like, everyone would be slack-jawed that they, oh my God, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. He should be fired. There's no question.
I take it back. The most controversial thing that the Robbinsdale Armstrong High School marching band ever did when I was there was we were playing Burnsville. We were losing 42-0 at halftime. It was pouring rain. We got tired of playing their school song, and our director, we were doing a lineup for halftime, and he said, okay, when we're done, we're going to the buses. And we actually abandoned the football team, I think. So that might have been a little bit, that was the level of controversy for my school.
All right, item two.
Item two, interesting discussion. This is from The Hill. Coming out of the Kavanaugh hearings is it says Me Too madness could destroy male college athletes, and there's the discussion about some. You know, we talked about these accusations against now Justice Kavanaugh. This has been happening a lot at the college athletics level, with some revisions that were made during the Obama era administration era to Title IX, and allowing. And there's been a lot of these claims. The Duke lacrosse team being very famous one. We had it here with the University of Minnesota football program. Where things are, you know, seemingly, you know, college students go and party, things happen, and there's been some claims against male athletes in particular that have later been found to be without merit, but by the time it's over for them too. So there is some little bit of discussion. We'll see what happens in the years to come if there's ever a look back at well, some of the changes. So
well, I want to ask, and both of you are, Senator, you're a trained attorney, how upsetting was it to you that the presumption of innocence went out the window for the Senate, and it was the presumption of guilty until proven innocent in Kavanaugh's case? I mean, was that, as an attorney and also as a former senator, was that something that that was bothersome to you?
You know, by then I don't think I was tuned in. No, it's honest to God. I this has gotten to me. I mean, and not just the Kavanaugh thing, but the I'll tell you one quick short story because you got just the minute. But I went to see Orrin Hatch. About the first time they tried repeal and replace, I stopped there and called him out, and he came out and he said, "Dave, what can I do for you?" And I said, "He was up for reelection, and his more conservative Senate buddy, Bob Bennett, had just been primaried in his own state." And I said, "Bob or Orrin, you're the first senator I ever met when I got here. And I know what's going through your head right now. And I just came to tell you, put out your arms. I just came to tell you I love you." And he stood there in this outside the Senate chamber and cried. So I know how hard this is on some of these people. I know at some point they ought to have the good sense to get out and let somebody else do it. But they seem to hang in there for some, I can do it better than somebody else, like the Democrats. And then the Democrats come along and give them a rationale for why they're there.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I don't know how this thing busts up, but for me, I could not watch the last couple of days of those hearings. So.
Well, I absolutely would understand that. Wow. Now, well, Jeff, I'll try to transition into item three.
Item three is setting up for a what should be a really good football game this weekend up in Collegeville. You know, Johnnies are going to be playing, of course, for their legendary former coach. But we've got the opposition, my school, St. Thomas, is coming in with an impressive, what I think they've got 31.
Currently the best Italian coach in the MIAC.
Yeah. The number three ranked nationally. I think they've had 31 straight regular season wins, and they had a close victory, 73-14 over Augsburg last week. Close because, as Boz mentioned off air, Augsburg at one point was tied with them. You know, so when you go back 7-7,
and not just 0-0 tied.
No, it's just when they match you that first touchdown. You get, as a Tommy, we're like, what's happening? So,
all right. Now I don't mean to interrupt you, but you guys had a bet last year, but there'll be no bet this year. And quite honestly, Boz has a better excuse than you do, Jeff.
So last year we bet, and the loser had to change their Facebook profile picture to the other team. So I had a St. Thomas, I had a St. Thomas football helmet as my Facebook logo for a week.
You had some fallout from that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did. The folks were mad at me. They were some,
they
had some angry folks.
They did.
So, but this Saturday is the game, and then John Gilardi is wake is Sunday, and his funeral's Monday. And I think it's going to be a great game. It's a coin flip. Whoever makes the least amount of mistakes will probably win the football game. And so, but I'm not going to take the risk. I'm confident the Giants got a great shot at, but I'm not going to take the risk of having a St. Thomas football logo on my profile picture during John's funeral.
Right, let me ask, Senator, please help mediate this. What if he agreed that you did not have to post it until Tuesday? after the funeral and burial.
You know what? I think in respect to
Senator, what do you think of that as a compromise?
I'm for the answer.
You could work across the aisle, right,
I'm
Senator?
I'm going to be bipartisan. I put the photo up of John with Glenn Caruso at one of the games a couple of years ago in St. Paul. And I think just out of respect, we should just leave it. We'll resume it next year. We'll hit a pause this year, and we'll resume the bet next year.
We'll be back 1 year from today to do it again, I think.
That makes a lot of sense.
Not to me, it doesn't. Tuesday.
Bob's trying to stir it up. So.
Well, how about this? Why not if on Tuesday you would have to wear a purple shirt to school? And you would have to, or you would have to wear a red shirt to school if your team, or to work, excuse me, and then just post that photo, not in your main thing, just a photo of you saying, I lost the bet. That's not so bad.
I like the a moment of silence.
I can't do that the day after John's funeral, Bob.
Two days. Help me out here.
I just wondered what he was going to come up with.
Bob, if you would like it, I'd take a picture of myself in a purple shirt and send it to you privately if you would enjoy that one, right? I hope the Johnnies win so it's not an issue. But again, it's going to be a great game.
And Senator, it's not an issue for you, right? Because you've taught at St. Thomas and you went to St. John's, but you are a Johnny at the core.
Yeah, and one of my grandsons, Jacob, up there, you know, who's a freshman or sophomore now in Minnetonka, and he's a two-sport athlete. One of them is not football, but it was, and it's not now.
I will say this, and Boz, you know this. I have family on both sides. I have family on my mom's side that went to St. John's. I had a her cousin who's a priest who was a big fundraiser for the school. I had looked at both St. John's and St. Thomas. I remember my undergrad was engineering. Had St. John's had an engineering program, I could have very well ended up being a Johnny too. That's how I ended up at St. Thomas. That was the reason.
It was almost a
coin flip.
Senator, and by the way, A Legacy Unraveled is a book that Boz wrote. It's still available on Amazon.
Yeah, just search for it. Just read John Gilardi's story. So just not just for the football coach, but for the incredible man that he is.
Absolutely. And Senator, your book is also on Amazon, and they can find it. Please remind people of the title, and that just put in your name with the title.
It's When Republicans Were Progressive by Dave Durenberger with Laurie Sturdivant.
And check both of those out. And I greatly appreciate Boz and Boz Bostrom joining us. Bernie Bomberger, of course, Jeff O'Brien, Senator Dave Durenberger. We are going to take a quick break and come right back. And actually, I'm starting a new feature where I take famous movie lines and apply them to everyday life. And I actually am using the line I use in the story from It's a Wonderful Life. And it applied to John how one man can touch so many lives. It's incredible how many lives he touched.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take that quick break and be right back. Need an office, a suite, use of a conference room, or a virtual office? Get in touch with Executive Suites of Minnesota, which has locations in St. Louis Park, where we are, Woodbury, Edina, and the IDS Center in Minneapolis. Number to call is 952-851-5555. 952-851-5555. I've been telling BS Show listeners about Bradshaw and Bryant for years and about how they always are seeking justice for the injured at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Bradshaw and Bryant also has attorneys who defend people against misdemeanor and felony criminal charges, and that includes drunk driving arrests. Bradshaw and Bryant seeks justice for everyone, and you can find out more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. If you own a restaurant and want to spice things up, or you do your own cooking at home and want to add some spice and flavor to your meals, you need to check out Midwest Rubs. Already serving nearly 200 restaurants in the Twin Cities and Hudson, Minnesota-based Midwest Rubs offers dozens upon dozens of unique spice blends. This is Bob Sansevier, and I'm a huge fan of the Kentucky Fried Seasoning. You can find many other spices and spice blends at MidwestRubs.com. That's MidwestRubs.com. Put in your order today. We're going to start a new feature today called It's a Wonderful Line. We're going to show you how famous lines from movies can be applied to everyday life. Now, we talked earlier about John Gilardi, the wonderful coach at St. John's University, set the record with 489 wins, most ever by a college coach. Well, there's a line in It's a Wonderful Life where Clarence Oddbody, the angel sent to Earth to help George Bailey find himself and save himself, Well, Clarence says, each man's life touches so many others. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? John Gagliardi touched thousands upon thousands of lives. And today, there's an awful hole in Collegeville and well beyond that with his passing. He, even in his passing, will continue to touch lives as people impacted by John Gagliardi continue to lead lives that likely wouldn't be as rich if they hadn't known the man. And now, a regular feature in the BS show, Psychic Ruth Lorden.
A good psychic tip is to take a cue from Mother Nature. And when we are experiencing large amounts of rain, snow, it's very important for us to add liquids to our own diet. When the winds are blowing, pay attention to our breathing. When it's cold, we eat cold foods. When it's hot, we eat and drink hot foods. This regulates the temperature of our body. Think about the Bedouins in the tents brewing the coffee. That's why they do it. And yes, ice cream is really a food for the winter. By doing this, taking a cue from nature, we live more in harmony with the balance of the universe. And then our psychic feelings, our thoughts, and our intuitions about who's going to win the next game or where the next stock is going will ring true.
Thank you to Ruth for that. You can find her at ruthlorden.com, at Psychic Ruth on Twitter. She is at the Medina Entertainment Center on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Thank you again, and thank you to all of our guests, all of our sponsors, all of our listeners. Coming to you from the Smart Start MN and the Bradshaw and Bryan Studios, we'll talk to you later.